Hey, this is Pastor John Riley. Welcome to our Open Door Podcast. I hope that it blesses you. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit us online at opendoorsanterfell.com.
Expectations. For many, many years, about 33 years, we had a Christian bookstore called the Christian General Store. And as you entered the store, over the double doors was a big sign that said, "Expect a miracle." And we still have that sign in storage somewhere. "Expect a miracle." And I always liked the sign. It always made me feel good when I read it. But to be honest, I'm not sure I'd put that sign up today. And hopefully as I go through this message, you would understand why I wouldn't do that. I'm just gonna say something that wasn't really in my notes. You know, just getting the news this morning that Carol's brother is dying of pancreatic cancer outside of a miracle. And one of the reasons I'm giving this message today is because I believe in expectations. I think expectations are good, but I believe we have to be careful with our expectations. I've been with people that were told that God, for example, God always heals. But it's been my experience that that doesn't always happen. And people that have had been given that expectation have carried that expectation and it hasn't happened. Whether with themselves or with a loved one, it's been really difficult to overcome that. And so I really want you to hear my heart and what I think is God's heart today in that we just want to be careful with our expectations. They're not wrong, they're good, but we need to be careful with them. And at the end of the day, I think we want God's expectations. Palm Sunday was certainly a day of tremendous expectations. Probably, I don't know if there's been a day in history when expectations were higher than Palm Sunday, a day of great expectations. It was, humanly speaking, probably the high point of Jesus' ministry. Jesus had just finished three and a half years of ministry going through all over Israel. And it made me wonder, what if Jesus came today for the same mission? What if instead of coming 2,000 years ago, what if he came today and proceeded to do the same things? The Bible says in the fullness of time he came. So I believe he came at the exact same time. Because I think if he came today, he'd hit the cancel culture right away. And we'd probably just be kind of scratched off the list. But he came in the fullness of time, and Palm Sunday happened at the high point of the apex of his ministry. There are approximately, recorded in the four Gospels, 37 miracles that Jesus did during those 3.5 years. 37 miracles. And there were many more than that. According to John chapter 21, which I'll turn through for real quickly here. It says right at the very end in John's gospel, "Now there were also many things that Jesus did with, were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." So beyond the 37 miracles that are recorded in the four gospels, there's obviously much, much more that Jesus did. And it was amazing. And so when he entered Jerusalem on this day, it was pretty exciting. His last miracle that really drew attention was when he raised his dear friend Lazarus from the dead. And this happened just like a day before he entered, a day or two. And you remember the story that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were dear friends of Jesus, and I'm sure on more than one occasion he had dinner with them and spent time with them. But Lazarus became ill, sickness unto death. Mary and Martha called for Jesus to come and save the day. They knew, they had confidence that he had the power based on what they've seen to save their brother and to heal him. But Jesus delayed on purpose. And when he arrived, Lazarus was already dead. But then, you know the story, one of the most dramatic stories, Jesus just looks at that tomb and says, "Lazarus, come out of there. Lazarus, you come out of there." And Lazarus came out of that tomb, still wrapped in the cloth, and they unwrapped him. And that really sealed the deal in so many ways. I mean, that just put everything over the top. And that's one of the reasons such an enormous crowd came on Palm Sunday, because the word traveled fast. And there were many, many, many people there to witness this, including the Pharisees. And the Pharisees determined for sure on that day, we've got to get this guy. We've got to get this guy. And so that, for people who love Jesus and wanted to follow him, that put it over the top for them, but it also put it over the top for the Pharisees. We've got to eliminate this guy. The Palm Sunday appears in all four Gospels. I'll turn to John chapter 12 for one of them. And John 12, 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna," which means save us. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel," the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." I'll read one other reference from Mark chapter 11. All four Gospels give a slightly different view of the Palm Sunday, but in essence, it's all the same. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" Save us. So, Palm Sunday, the high point, again, humanly speaking, of Jesus' ministry. And a day of great expectations. It's the King of Israel. He's bringing forth the kingdom of David. Just what the Old Testament says. And they were excited, and they were excited. But the great expectation of that day was quickly crushed. He was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. He was arrested at night by men with torches and swords. He was denied by Peter, his strongest disciple, brought before the high priest and Pilate, flogged, sentenced to death. And the Palm Sunday crowds that had followed him with such excitement turned against him. And instead of crying out, "Hosanna," they cried out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And his disciples scattered. So what was the highest point in his ministry, so to speak, came crashing down into the lowest point. The great expectations of that day were quickly crushed. Expectations are a powerful thing in this life, and we need to be careful with them. We need to hold on to them lightly and offer them to God. And that's really one of the heartbeats of this message, from my heart to yours, I think from God's heart to you. Hopes and dreams and expectations are a part of life, but it's been my experience over the years, I've learned to hold them lightly. Lord, this is what I hope for. Lord, this is what I dream for. These are expectations in my life. But I'm going to hold them lightly, Lord. I'm going to offer them to you. I'm going to offer all my hopes and dreams and expectations to you. Lord, may your will be done. In James chapter 4, James is the half-brother of Jesus. And James is a real straight shooter. He just doesn't mince words. And James has this to say, this would tie into expectations. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So James spells it out really quickly. Hopes, dreams, expectations, plans. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, I'm going to make it happen. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. But better to say, Lord, if it's your will, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I have these expectations. But Lord, I leave it in your hands. I leave it in your hands. May your will be done. In this room today with us, there are many hopes and dreams and expectations. And if it's God's will, they will come to pass. It could have to do with your education, marriage or life in your marriage, jobs or your job, success, health, happiness, whatever may come to your mind, that things that might be an expectation that you hold for your life. There are many of them. There's nothing wrong with that. But my encouragement to you is just let the Lord have them. And if it's his will, he will bring it about. And if he doesn't, as we'll see later, he has something better for you. If your expectations, your hopes and dreams don't come about the way you were hoping, or maybe the way others said they would, because people can put great expectations on us, if it doesn't happen the way that you think it might or the way they think it might, just a couple of verses to remember. The first from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says to us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that, we find out, is true many times during our life, that what we thought is not exactly what God thought, because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And we need to be ready to yield ourselves to God's ways and God's thoughts. Yield ours to him. And then Romans chapter 8, which is, thank goodness for this scripture, verse 28, Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. all things work together for good. That can be a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but I look back over my life, I see that that is true, that when hopes and dreams and expectations turn out differently than I thought, that God's plans for me were good and not evil. He has a way of working all things together. If I will yield to Him and thank Him, He'll work it out for good for my life and for your life. And I'm so grateful for that. Then there's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, another tremendous verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways trust Him, and He will guide your path. Hopes, dreams, and expectations, keep them before the Lord, and if it's His will, He will fulfill them. I'll use one example from my life that I've shared this story before, but I thought it fit in well today. When I was in college, we had the Vietnam War. Horrible, horrible war. They're all horrible, but this one, we lost around 50 to 55,000 American lives, men and women, in that war. It was horrible. Many of us had, at that age, had friends going off to war. Some didn't come back. Some came back wounded. It was a difficult time. And during this time, they had a draft and a lottery. And so everybody was assigned a number. I forget exactly how it went, but they drew this certain number out of this big turning, like a, some kind of a contest. And whatever number came out, that's the chances of you getting drafted into the Army and being maybe sent off to Vietnam. Well, the number that came up for me was not a good number, and the chances were pretty good I'd be drafted. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to go in the Army, I want to go on my own terms. So I decided I think I'm going to try to go in the Air Force and go to officer's training school. That would be the way to go. You know, I could serve my country that way, but hopefully not wind up in Vietnam. And so if you remember the story, I went to our local recruiter, Sergeant Sampson, and he lined me up, and I took the examination two times to get into officer's training school, and I failed both times, which was really embarrassing, humiliating, because it wasn't that tough, but I didn't make it. And so I was very disappointed because I had this expectation. My expectations were, I love the Air Force, I'm gonna join the Air Force, be an officer, I'll spend 4 years in the Air Force, you know, hopefully out of harm's way, and then I'll carry on with my life. But it didn't turn out that way. I failed. And so that expectation went out the window. So, okay, Lord, now what? My life is in your hands. But this is what happened. My local draft board decided, because I was studying to be a teacher, that they would give me a deferment, which means I didn't have to submit to the draft. So because of that, I was deferred from getting into the Army. I finished my degree. I went on to seminary. I helped start this church back in 1972. I married Mona Riley, and I had three great kids. So that was God's expectation. See, my expectation was, okay, I'm going to beat the draft. I'm going to join the Air Force. I love that uniform. I'm going to be an officer. It's going to be awesome. You know, they'll pay the rest of my way through college or whatever. But I failed. That expectation went right down the drain. But God had a different expectation for my life. And looking back, I certainly wouldn't trade. I thank God for the expectations that He has for my life. And by His grace, the willingness to yield to His expectations and not be so stubborn about my own. Well, this fits really well into Palm Sunday, because on Palm Sunday, again, there were great expectations. tremendous expectations. I mean, the Jewish people have been waiting for how long for this to happen? You know, they were under the heel of the Romans. I mean, they were looking for salvation. They were looking for a hero. They were looking for a king. They were looking for a new kingdom. So they had great expectations. Jesus would be the new king of Israel. He would overcome the Romans and establish a new victorious kingdom, and Israel would be on top of the hill once again. Those are big expectations that these people had. But it didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen, and they were dismayed. Instead, expectations were crushed. Jesus was arrested. Jesus was convicted. Jesus was judged. Jesus was flogged. Jesus was crucified. All his disciples scatter. They're in complete depression and dismay. They have no idea what went wrong. Their expectations were crushed. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death forever. He adopted us as sons and daughters, created a place for us in heaven, and is coming again. Which is the best expectation? The expectation of the people was crushed, but God's expectations came through, and they were glorious. And for the next 2,000 years, like today, we come and worship and celebrate God's expectations and what he's done for us. God is good. His plans for us are for good and not evil. And we need to trust our expectations to him. And I'll just underline that from Jeremiah 29:11, which we've read many times. Thank you, Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We don't always know what God's will is going to be, and we continue to hope and dream and have expectations for your life, and very often God is right in the middle of those and inspires those. But again, my encouragement to you today is always just leave all of that in God's hands. And if it's his will, it will happen. And if it doesn't happen the way you're expecting, then you can expect this, that God has a better plan, and his expectation for your life is for good. Lord, help us to walk in that today. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that your plans for us are for good and not evil. And I thank you, God, that you do. You've created us to hope and dream and have expectations. But at the same time, Lord, wisdom says to us that we need to always leave those things in your hands, because your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And your expectations for our life, Lord, can be quite different, but they're always the best. They're always the best. And looking back, we will never regret accepting your expectations for our life. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for this Passion Week. We thank you that on that third day you rose. We thank you, God, for all the hopes and dreams that we have in you on this day. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.